Welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 120, Common Nursing Home Problems and How to Solve Them. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we're a little under the weather. Today is a very informative episode. I was perusing the internet the other day, as I'm known to do, and I came upon a whopper of a resource over at justiceandaging.org. Mm-hmm. It is it's like a white paper meets brochure meets pamphlet meets, treatise, mm-hmm. but it's really a book.
Yeah.
It's called 25 Common Nursing Home Problems and mm-hmm. How to Solve Them. And it was authored by Eric Carlson, an attorney with justiceandaging.org.
Yeah.
He's a heck of a guy. He has been on this podcast before. Mm-hmm. He was on this podcast back in March of 2019, talking about assisted living facilities and the regulations or lack of regulations, I should say, on assisted living facilities across the country. But he's very knowledgeable. He's an attorney with Justice and Aging. But Will is here to tell you a little bit more about him.
Right. So, you know, we've had him on here before, and he's the author of a tremendously popular and useful legal treaty, The Long-Term Care Advocacy, put out by Matthew Bender and Company. Eric is the directing attorney of Justice and Aging, which is a national nonprofit legal advocacy organization that fights senior poverty through law, securing access to affordable health care, economic security, and the courts for older adults with limited resources. He's got broad experience in many forms of long-term care services, including home and community-based services, nursing facility care, and assisted living facilities. He led Justice and Aging's extensive research, funded through the Commonwealth Fund, on Medicaid-funded assisted living, and currently is leading a project to assist consumer advocacy on Medicaid-managed long-term care services and supports in Florida and New Jersey. He counsels attorneys from across the country and co-counsels litigation on consumers' behalf. So we are very privileged to have Eric on the show today.
Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Eric, we mentioned at the top of the show about an excellent resource that your organization and you authored, Justice and Aging. It was called 25 Common Nursing Home Problems, and that's kind of why the genesis of why I wanted to have you on the show to kind of walk us through that. But
Just before we get in there, where is that? Where can people get that?
So go to the website of Justice and Aging, mm-hmm. which is at justiceandaging.org. Yeah. And right now it's on the homepage. If for some reason it doesn't pop up immediately on the homepage, go to our publications and choose issue briefs. It's available for free. If you go through the steps, you can download it on your own computer and print out as many copies as you like.
And we're going to put that information up on the screen.
Yeah, so people can. It's on the screen if you happen to be watching this. But if you're not watching it, again, go to justiceandaging.org, and it's a very informative document called 25 Common Nursing Home Problems, and it's a beast. It's really good. But that's why I wanted to have you on, Eric, just to kind of walk us through five of them. That's what we call the title of the episode is 5 Common Nursing Home Problems, and we'll have you walk us through the first one. You can probably pick them at random. Just pick one, and let's go for it.
Yeah, let me do this. Let me start with a theme that covers all five, or all 25, as it were. So, you know, this comes from my work representing residents, and I know when I first started doing this work quite a long time ago, I was originally a little befuddled. I remember some of my early clients, some of the early situations, like that I remember one person in particular that came in with an eviction problem, and the wife told me, well, they told me my husband is in a, they told me he's in a Medicare bed, and he has to leave within 48 hours because his Medicare ended. And I was a young lawyer at the time, and I looked at the law, and that didn't seem right. But here's this national chain telling this woman that this is how it is. I thought, how can that be? Mm-hmm. How can, you know, what's wrong with me as a lawyer if I can't understand what's going on here? What it turned out was I did understand what was going on here, and it's an easy explanation, is what they were proposing was just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
It was illegal. It still is illegal, and that's the unifying message behind all these. The full title of the book is 25 Common Nursing Home Problems and How to Resolve Them. And so for each of the problems, we list the initial statement. This is what you're going to hear from the nursing home. This is what they're going to tell you. And it's wrong. Just we want to tell you that right up front. If you hear that, your ears should perk up, bells should go off. They're not telling you the truth. And then there's a statement of what the law is, and then an explanation of what people can do, should do to push back against that.
Yeah. Excellent. So
we could look at some of the. I mean, I think one of the problems I'll start with is number one, because it's so common, which is discrimination against Medicaid eligible residents. And so residents often hear, oh, Medicaid doesn't pay for that, whatever it might be, one-on-one attention, the level of monitoring that you need, some level of rehabilitation services, for example. You ask for it, and the facility says, Medicaid doesn't pay for that. And then they'll go on and say, Medicaid doesn't pay us enough. We lose $3.87 every day on you because Medicaid doesn't pay it enough, whatever it is. And our response to that is that it's wrong, that the nursing home has chosen to sign up with Medicaid. And when they sign up for Medicaid, they promise the state government, they promise the federal government that they provide good care, meet people's needs completely, in return for the Medicaid payment. And so it's completely dishonest and unfair for the nursing home to accept the money and then turn around and tell the weakest link in this chain, that is the resident, we're not going to give you what you need. I mean, all of us who are in business, whether we be lawyers or anything, you don't take money from your clients and then say, oh, I'm going to do a bad job because I don't consider the money that you're paying me enough. It doesn't work like that, and it shouldn't work here either. So people need to push back against that. Refuse to get in conversations about money. You know, the facility can't be airing out their supposed financial problems. It's not the resident's problem. They need to comply with the law. There's a provision of the nursing home reform law that requires nursing homes to do whatever is necessary to get residents to the highest practicable level of functioning and well-being, and they have to do that. And then in the specifics, you talk to the facility. You may be able to enlist help from the local ombudsman. There's a grievance procedure now in nursing facilities where if you make a grievance with the nursing facility, the grievance official in the nursing home has to respond in writing, and there's also the ability to make a complaint to the local survey and certification agency. But the big message is, don't, if you're Medicaid eligible, and 60%+ of residents around the country are, don't accept second-class treatment. You shouldn't be getting second-class treatment.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then that's a problem that I don't know what panel was it at the Consumer Voice Conference last year where the resident dumping, basically the Medicare 100-day rule, and people were just getting dumped. That's just a huge problem.
And dumped to unsafe spaces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge problem as well. I don't think that people understand what their rights are when it comes to evictions. So is that something that Georgia's one of the – unfortunately, we're one of the worst places for nursing homes in the nation. But is that overall – a huge problem nationally is just these evictions to unsafe places?
Yeah, let me take two pieces of that. And first, I'm going to take a step back for a second and say that the law we're talking about, I referenced the federal nursing home reform law, mm-hmm. applies across the country mm-hmm. to any nursing home that accepts any money from Medicaid or Medicare. So that basically is every nursing home in the whole country. There's a handful that don't have federal certification, but it's a yeah. tiny handful of very, very high-end facilities that don't have to worry about Medicaid or Medicare. So probably if anybody listening to this, if you're dealing with a nursing home, it's almost certain that nursing home right. is subject to the law that we're talking about here. So again, across the country, and it applies to every resident in the nursing home, regardless of reimbursement source. So even though the application of the law initially is tied to receipt of Medicare and Medicaid, it protects every resident, even if the resident is paid out of pocket, for example, or through a long-term care insurance policy or whatever. So basically, almost every resident that you're going to deal with, if it's you, if somebody in your family, a friend, mm-hmm. parishioner, whomever, is protected by this law. So evictions, the law governs evictions from a nursing home. There's only six reasons that a nursing home can cite to force people out of a nursing home: failure to pay, the nursing home is closing, the resident needs more care than a nursing home can provide, the resident doesn't need nursing home care anymore, the resident is a danger to others, a danger to the safety of others, or a danger to the health of others. Those are the six. And so, as you mentioned, one of the issues is even assuming that the transfer discharge is appropriate, just for the sake of this example, we'll assume that the nursing home, in addition, has an obligation to make sure the resident goes to a safe place. And in these transfer discharges, the resident has a right to an appeal hearing. You get an administrative hearing. Mm-hmm. In most states, the administrative law judge hears it in the nursing home, and sometimes I believe it's over the telephone. But mm-hmm. one of the defenses in those cases for the resident is the nursing home doesn't have a good plan of transfer. And you see some completely inadequate proposals from nursing homes to send people to their daughter's house, yeah. to mm-hmm. local, to the hospital, hotels, homeless shelters, things like that. So that's one reason why the hearing officer should reject the proposed transfer discharge. So you mentioned the Medicare issue, and I'm going to try to discuss that
okay.
briefly, because that's a clear problem across the country. Many a lot of admissions to nursing homes happen after a hospitalization. Person's in a hospital for a broken hip or whatever it is, and then goes to a nursing home. Oftentimes, he or she will have rehabilitation services in the nursing home under Medicare for a limited period of time. It maxes out under fee-for-service Medicare at 100 days, but the average number of Medicare-funded days is 27. Mm-hmm. So that's the average. And so a lot of nursing homes these days try to focus on these Medicare-funded people, because Medicare is pays a reasonably high rate. It's a preferred reimbursement source. And so their business plan is to bring these Medicare people in. And then as soon as the 27 days, for example, or 20 days or 35 days, whatever it is for that person, they want to push that person out so they can replace them with another Medicare person. Mm-hmm. And so you'll hear nursing homes say things like, and this is that false statement here, oh, I'm sorry, we're just a rehab facility. We focus on short-term rehab. We don't take custodial level residents. Mm-hmm. And all of that is wrong. When a person's Medicare reimbursement ends, he or she has a right to stay, paying out of pocket or under Medicaid. And it's to the extent that the facility tries to say that's not possible, the nursing home is not telling the truth. So yeah. People need to push back against that when they hear this language about, I'm sorry, we're only short term, or we don't do custodial care. In the nursing homes, trying to push them out when they don't want to be pushed out. Mm-hmm. They need to just stay put. And if the nursing home wants to force them out, the nursing home has to give notice and cite one of these six reasons. There's the notice lists appeal rights. It lists the contact info for the local ombudsman program, and then the person can make the appeal and contest it. And just quickly to wrap up that part of the eviction discussion, the number one message to in contesting evictions is don't move. And it sounds like very remedial advice. Well, of course, that's obvious, but it's actually not, because people, and I get it, feel intimidated by it. They're in the nursing home, and the nursing home's telling them they have to get out, and the staff is obviously around them 24 hours a day, and they get jittery, but people need to resist the jitters in that case. Understand that the nursing home is trying to take advantage of them. And when you have when you have an eviction threat, the easiest way to lose is just to panic and move, because you've lost then. Instead, you just need to sit tight and force the nursing home to think about it and force the nursing home to comply with the law.
Well, I actually had a question. In those six reasons, there seems like there's a lot of wiggle room with "we can't meet your needs." Is that the case? Because some of them are pretty clear. Either you're paying or you're not paying. You're a threat to somebody else or threat to yourself.
I'm going to use that to make a broad point.
Sure.
Is that if the law is interpreted properly, residents should almost always win. Mm-hmm. but for the non-payment situations, right? I get that. Yeah. You don't pay, you're subject to eviction the same way as in an apartment setting or anything else. Mm-hmm. But in these other situations, residents very infrequently are a real danger to safety or health. The nursing facilities may allege that, but almost always it's just the resident's difficult. He or she has dementia of some sort, calls out at night, doesn't follow instructions. You see these allegations that the resident is non-compliant with the service plan or resistant and that sort of thing. And the response should be, yeah, that's why they're in a nursing home. Nursing homes are set up to care for people who have dementias. There has to be competence with dementias. You can't blame a nursing home resident for having Alzheimer's. There needs to be competence within the nursing home to just understand that and to provide good dementia care. And so that covers a lot of those proposed transfer discharges. It's the nursing home trying to impose a improper standard on a nursing home resident when the nursing home resident is is doing exactly what he or she should be doing. That's just, you know, exhibiting some quote unquote behaviors that are just expected if you have a dementia, for example.
Yeah.
Those are the endangered ones. And then as you mentioned, we cannot meet your needs. So that should be interpreted as, you know, you need more care than a nursing home can provide. So, you know, in nursing homes are set up, licensed and certified to provide a high level of care. Again, a lot of these situations, we're just talking about issues that come from dementia. I mean, it's one thing it's very rare that a nursing home resident really has a healthcare condition that can't be met in a nursing home. It, you know, maybe when you get into ventilators or you know, some sort of intravenous type of feeding situation. You know, I don't know exactly. I'm a little bit out of my competence when you get to the high end of some of those questions to where to draw the line. But at some point if you're talking about those sort of interventions, then maybe you can be talking about this person doesn't belong in a nursing home anymore. He or she belongs in a subacute setting, for example.
Gotcha.
But that's not the case in the vast majority of these proposed transfer discharges, the ones where I've represented people. It's usually the somebody with dementia who's quote unquote difficult or challenging or however you want to describe it. But the person is absolutely within the level of care that's appropriate for a nursing home. And you know that oftentimes because the transfer discharge notice will say, allege, we cannot meet your needs anymore. And we propose to send you to another nursing home, somebody down the street.
Right.
And so the response to that is, well, if this second nursing home can, if you think that's an appropriate referral place for this person, why can't you provide that care?
Right.
And the new federal regulations, that have been effective a couple years now, are better on that point. So when a nursing home alleges these, we cannot meet your needs, they've got to have documentation that specifies what the need is that supposedly can't be met, their efforts to meet that need, whatever, it's a good faith effort to meet that need,
mm-hmm.
and an explanation of why the recipient facility, nursing home number two, or your facility number two, whatever it is, can meet that need. So it's trying to tease out exactly what the issue is to avoid some of the problems we've had in the past where facilities, like you are pointing out, just said, oh, we can't meet your needs.
Yeah.
Now they have to say, what's the need? Have you tried to meet it? And what is it that this second place can do that you supposedly cannot?
Right. Like maybe if it were a psychiatric ward or something like that, that might be
explained. Yeah, like yeah. Legitimate. If the person legitimately needed a locked psychiatric setting,
yeah.
Legitimately, then yes. But again, that in all the cases that I've ever presented with or have discussed, that's not what's going on. So that should be the standard. Is it really true that this person's need can't be met in a nursing home? Does he need in our medical system? The nursing home covers a broad. Broad expanse of care needs. You have to be able to say if this person doesn't need a nursing home, what does a person need the nursing home can't do? And like I said, then you suggested, then we're looking at people who need locked psychiatric settings,
right.
Or people who need subacute, who are comatose or the high care ventilator care things like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about disregarding residents' preferences. One of the problems you have in your thing, because this is something that's near and dear to me. Having worked in nursing homes, I would always be very upset when the staff would just be like, well, look, you can't have this or you can't do that, or she's not allowed to have that. The phrase "she's not allowed to have that" should never be uttered by anyone working in a long-term care setting.
Yeah, I do think this is a very central point. So the example in the book that we got multiple examples, but right. One of them is just when you wake up in the morning or go
Absolutely.
To bed at night.
Yeah.
And you're just told this is the way it is. You're waking mm-hmm. up at 6, you're going to bed at 8:30. Mm-hmm. Our activities are whatever they are, and the presentation is, well, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. Going to the federal nursing home reform law, which all these nursing homes have to comply with, there's an obligation to make reasonable accommodations for resident preferences.
Yeah.
And so there's some ambiguity there. What's reasonable? And you can imagine at some point your residents just make extravagant requests
sure.
for
yeah.
Well, I don't know, full-on orchestras for their birthday. I mean, that's obviously right. way off at one end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But that's not what residents are asking for, right? It's not like residents yeah. are asking for full-on orchestras. They're just saying, hey, can I just sleep in as long as I want?
Yeah.
Really simple things. Can you make some? Can you try to provide me with food that I've liked for my whole life for whatever? Yeah. Right. That sort of thing. Or I hate bingo, or I want, you know, what I really like to do is I want to walk around I want to get outside
yeah.
once a day, or I like Frisbee. I like bridge. I like building models. I don't know, whatever. I like talking about books. Whatever it is, the nursing home's got an effort to make reasonable accommodations and not just say, well, that's the way we do it and you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
We've staffed this in such a way that the staff goes down the hall starting at 6 in the morning and you're in room 14. And so that means somebody will be by at about 6:45, and that's how it is because that's how we do things.
Yeah.
And we play bingo because that way we can quote unquote entertain 50 people at a time with only one staff person. And it's really simple, and the TV is on, you know, that all that sort of thing. And there's an obligation in the federal law to accommodate resident preferences. And there's more mention in the federal law now about person-centered care. It's supposed to be based on the resident, not the what's easiest or cheapest for the or customary for the nursing home. And a little message to the nursing homes here, that the message to providers is that it's just good business to do this, and some of the better providers I do run into some, you know, when I present this to residents or other people, I'll ask if people have knowledge of nursing homes that are actually doing this, providing person-centered care,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you get about 10% of people that say, yeah, at least I know somebody that's actually doing a good job of that. Anyway, so the point is there that if you want to distinguish yourself, if you want to be proud of the work that you do, if you want your customers to be happy and say good things about you and give you good online references and report cards, the idea of resident-centered care, another term is culture change, you know, to change the culture in the nursing homes so residents feel happier, and also so the direct care staff feels more empowered. There's a lot of work these days on the facility, on the provider side as well, saying that that's just the right thing to do. It should be a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Eric, this guide is extremely informative.
And we'll make sure that we put this up on the screen, and we'll make sure that the website's up and in the show notes so that our audience
yeah.
can access it. And again, if you're tuning in late, Eric is going over some of the problems that are contained within a booklet called 25 Common Nursing Home Problems and How to Solve Them. And it's an excellent resource.
What people should start with is it's an extensive, right? It's 50 pages. It's got a lot of detail, and they should start justiceinaging.org, mm-hmm. and like, you know, either on the off the home page or go to our click into our publications and check on issue briefs and pull it up, and there's a lot there, and take a look at that first, and then go from there.
Very good. Well, Eric, thank you again for agreeing to come on the show. It's
and being flexible with our mistake,
the technical problems.
Oh, not a problem. That's just life.
I hear you.
It's my pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric.
Okay. Sure thing.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
This is an extremely informative 50 pages. It's succinct. It's clear. It doesn't really get into technicalities, which is good because it communicates effectively across a broad range of topics. So, you know, justiceinaging.org. If you have a loved one that may go into a long-term care setting, it is absolutely imperative that you download this from justiceinaging.org. And that you read through it, because nursing homes
keep it with you. It's got everything in it.
Whether maliciously or ignorantly or whatever, are not telling you the truth oftentimes. Especially things about how you can be evicted, what your process is, what your rights are. All of this is important, and it's not common knowledge.
Yep. What's it? What's going on? Just as a reminder, this is the final week of it being May, and mm-hmm. it's Older Americans Month.
Yeah.
So go hug your elder relatives. Go give them a hug. Give them a high five. And that's going to conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can get a new episode every Monday morning, either wherever you download your podcast from, or online. You can get it at nursinghomeabusepodcast.com or our YouTube channel. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.